Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 12th, 2018. In turmoil, most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning. Let's get right now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or 620-878-4682. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, and much, much more at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on net internationally. It's live on YouTube right now and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, let's thank our listener base, like the people over there in New Delhi, India. World City Colleges in Caloocan City. I don't even know where that's at. Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Paris, France. Vancouver, Canada. And, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as New York, New York. Kansas City, Missouri. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, Dallas, Texas. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas still has the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Well, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77 on Twitter. Now prayer, and we'll bring on our guest, because you know what? We've got a really hot subject for you tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I really pray that radio goes according to your will and not ours, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to understand the truth of the subject tonight, Father. Lift the veil from their eyes. So, please, Father, bless this program tonight in your Son Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, in case you missed the first program, folks, you need to, if you're listening to this in archives, I suggest that you just stop and go back and listen to the previous program that we did tonight, because this is a two-part program. Now, we're trying to clear up something that was started by Pope Francis, who said sinners will simply just vanish. And so our guests last week said we were going over some topics, and he said, hey, did you hear about what the Pope said? And I said, yeah, but he wanted to talk about it. That was Pastor Carl Gallup, who I have great respect for, and as you know, he's a regular on this program. Well, a regular on our program heard it, and he wanted to come on and give a as he said, a balanced point of view to it. So that's Steve Henderson. Steve has served in the last 30 years as a pastor. He's an evangelist and a equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, Steve's been called in the arena of teaching prophecy. His ministry is the Sure Word of Prophecy, and he has a mission to help believers understand the Bible and Bible prophecy. So tonight, we'll bring Steve right back on with us, and I know you're just waiting and dying to get on the air. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Boy, it sure has been a long time since I talked to you.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually. You know, I was going to kind of poke you at that, but you beat me to it, so there went my joke.
Back to you. I'm sorry, really.
That's all right.
So do you take good nappy in between programs?
Oh, no, I just visited with my wife, and that's not anything like a nap.
Nothing like a nap, well. If you're a little bit sleepy, I'll wake you up on this second one here. We're again going to dive into this hot topic of hell. And in the first presentation, hopefully I stirred him up a little bit. I don't really care if you agree with me so much as you, if I can get you back to the Bible to take another look, and so you can help explain to others why God would cast someone into a hole forever and ever, and burn them forever and ever when he's called a God of love and a God that's a God of righteousness and, you know, one who teaches love your enemies and this type of thing. How you can square that with this second death is something that really needs to be seriously considered. And I, in the second presentation, hope to be able to put a little bit more on top of the plate for you to chew on. And it will be, it's not exhaustive, but it will help you get started. So,
amen. Let me say something to the audience here before we get started. Folks, the biggest point of this radio program isn't necessary. You know, I have a lot of different guests on, and a lot of people say, well, how can Pastor Dan, they write different books, and the books, some of them are conflicting or whatever. It isn't my job to give you an absolute on a lot of these topics. Yes, there is an absolute, and that's that Yeshua. You ain't getting anywhere, whether it's into a lake of fire, into hell, wherever. You're not going to avoid those things without Yeshua. He is the only way to eternal life. That's absolute. Beyond that, what we want you to do here, do what I did when I came out of the world. You need to get, I use a King James Version Bible. You can use what you want, but King James Version Bible and a Strong's Concordance to go along with it, and do the study for yourself. That, and make sure you pray first, folks, and get the Father in on it. But that's how it works, and that's what we want you to do. Prayerfully, these programs will get you to the point of studying and researching for yourself. Okay, Steve, go on, and I can't wait to hear what all you got to say.
Pastor Dan, thank you again for the opportunity to share with you tonight, and I hope that you'll be blessed by this next presentation here that will help drive home to the idea that you have a beautiful future ahead of you. He that has a son has life. He that does not have the Son has no life at all. And we have decisions to make. And as the time approaches, we are quickly approaching, brother, the final days. I believe we're in the final days. Then it would be very well for those of us who are in the Valley of Decision to make some decisions, because we do have a beautiful future ahead of us. And the Scripture is very clear on that. We'll share just a little bit of that here in a moment. And then there is also another destination that is your choice, and you either have life or you choose a second death, and I'd like to articulate that a little bit more. The Scripture says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. And so, brother, we need to realize that, you know, we have an appointment. Everyone who has gone before us in death will have an appointment, and the Scripture declares very clearly, it's appointed man once a time to die, but after this, the judgment. And, you know, we think that death is maybe all there is to it, but we are going to be raised in one of two resurrections, and blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection. And every person on this planet has the opportunity, while they're still yet cognitively able to understand, that Jesus died for your sins, was raised on the third day, and he's going back to prepare a place for those who believe. And if you believe, you will have eternal life. If you don't believe, you will perish. That's the bottom line. So we have choices to life or choices to death, and a second one at that. So not only do we have life, but we have to look forward to a judgment. And for all of those who have died, they are waiting for that day when they will be rewarded. Yes, friends? We'll find ourselves waking up in one or two resurrections, and Yeshua says, behold, I come quickly, and will give to each man reward according to his works. Now, one of the things that we need to say up front, I guess, is for those who believe in the eternal suffering, I'll always go back to the rich man Lazarus parable. And I'm not going to articulate that so much this evening, but I just want to mention it. in passing that that was not a literal story. It was a parable that reflected something, a deeper teaching that Yeshua gave about the Jewish people and their attitude toward those who did not have the oracles of God and neglected the poor and the suffering. But very evidently, when you look at the state of the dead, most people believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. Well, friends, my Bible says that when, in the very beginning, Yahweh said, when you've been made from the dust, and now that you have sinned, dust you will return. And according to the scriptures, we find that man will return to the dust of the earth. But the dead do not praise the Lord, nor any that go down into silence. So whatever's going on down there, there's silent folks. There's no screeching. There's no tormented people. They're waiting for one of two resurrections. And at some point in time, Yeshua says, do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Yes, there are two resurrections, one to life eternal, the other to condemnation of a second death. And the first resurrection is described this way, and this is the one that you and I can take joy in knowing that we can be part of. The righteous will be rewarded at the last day and at the last trumpet. We won't receive that reward until then, but here is how the Apostle Paul described it to the church at Thessalonica. He declared, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Yeshua will rise first. Here is the first resurrection, friends. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yeshua in the air, and thus we will always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, my friends, there is going to be a time when those who have gone before you, who have died in Yeshua, are going to be coming out of their graves immortal. And we'll look at this in another passage found in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. Paul had wanted to reveal this mystery, the mystery of death to us, and here he says, I am going to show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will all be changed. At that time, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Friends, this is a picture of the first resurrection. A glorious reunion one day, and every one of us have that opportunity to be on board that first resurrection. And it's a simple, by grace you're saved, not of works, lest anyone can brag about it, but it's a gift of Yahweh. And when you go to grab a gift, you just have to grab it and lay hold on it. And to as many as received him, then he gave right to become children of God to all that believe in Yeshua's name. He stands at your door and knocks, and if any man will hear his voice and open up the door, he will come in and have a relationship with you. And friends, that is a solid gold guarantee that one day we can be raised in the first resurrection. And blessed is he that is raised in the first resurrection upon which the second death has no power. And hallelujah, we can be called sons and daughters of God. And that makes you very special. And for those who are still weighing out the balances on whether or not you should be on that side or not, I will tell you firsthand that since I came out of darkness and out of a deep darkness and have come into the life of Yeshua, I have had a life more abundant than I ever had. And it continues to get better and better. Now, listen, it's not without trials and tribulation. But I'll tell you, when you go through those things, you get a little more thick skin and a little bit more resolved and recognize, as Solomon did, everything you gather in your life and think is important is all vanity. And the older I get, Pastor Dan, I just recognize that it is. How about you? You're the same age I am.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The tribulations are there, and it is right the more, the older we get, I don't know whether you call it wisdom or what it is, but I look back and I can see that other self, that unborn again self that really just wasted so much time. And I'm so thankful for having life abundant now back then.
Amen, brother. I was once lost and now I'm found. And I appreciate the day when I began to open up the Bible and began to read that these promises in there were for me and for you and for all the listening audience. And you can have that. It's a gift. And Yeshua paid a great price to redeem you. He bought you with his own blood. And friends, if you have not yet made that decision, please do so. Because in the Bible, it also foretells of a second resurrection. And it's found in Revelation 20, verse 5. The rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. So in the first resurrection, Yeshua comes and brings you to eternal life. And in a place where there's no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, death is no more victorious over us. And we live in a place where God is our God, and we are his people. And he'll lead us to fountains of living waters. And we'll walk on streets of transparent gold in the middle of the city that you see that beautiful picture of eternal life that it's something that you have to receive by faith. If you do, life and abundance will come and follow it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. But then there is a second resurrection, and the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. Remember, those that are in the graves will come forth. Yeshua will speak into the grave. The trumpet and the trumpet sound, the blast of the archangel and the voice from the Lord shout and will bring the dead out of their graves and into one of two resurrections. The righteous first, the rest of the dead do not live until the 1,000 years finish. And then at the 1,000 years, the day of judgment will bring offender face to face with the righteous judge, who declares in this passage of Scripture, and what a powerful, frightening day this is going to be for those who do not have Yeshua. It says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before Yahweh. Yes, friends, one day equality and justice will be issued by the one who judges with righteousness and decides with equity. Those who were dead are now raised in the last resurrection. And at that time, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that, in fact, Yeshua really was the way, the truth, and the life. And there will be two distinct resurrections. The saved will receive eternal life. The unsaved, a second death. Yes, for the unrighteous, death will be the final answer. This is God's last chapter when all trace of evil will be burnt up and eradicated forever. No person will be able to escape the power of the second death except only the ones who are Yeshua empowered. And so it makes more sense to raise the wicked one more time after they die to get a glimpse of what they're going to miss out on, eternal bliss. And that place where someday the lion will lay down with the lamb, the blind are blessed to see the pure things. And it only stands to reason that if the reward for a wicked man is a second death, then he must die and be raised again and then die again. But to those who overcome and stay faithful to God, they will not be hurt by the second death. And so there is a group that is specifically identified in Scripture. And they're found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. And the Scripture declares that there will be a group of people recognized that will be in a lake of fire which burns with fire and sulfur. Let me read it. John declares, the cowards who turn away from me, the unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and all who practice witchcraft and idol worshippers and all liars will have their doom in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. Now, our guest last week said that when they were thrown in the lake of fire, they when they're thrown in the lake of fire, the result of it is a second death. And whatever takes place in this lake of fire brings about a death for those who are cast in it a second time. This passage does not say this is a second chance, nor does it describe the lake of fire as a second hell. And you need to notice that when the lake of fire is put into place, the fire is coming down out of heaven. The Bible clearly says in this part of Scripture in Revelation chapter 20 that when the fire comes, it's going to rain coals of fire on the wicked. That's what it says in the Psalms chapter 11. So the fire is coming from above. It's not coming from underneath the ground. And that's so important to know as to where the location of this so-called hell is, or the Gehenna fire, which Yeshua talked about, which was a place that was symbolized as a place on top of the ground where the wicked will wind up, in the valley of Hinnom. Never once does anyone find scripture to back up where a deathless, miserable, evil soul is granted immortality anywhere. And I think that's necessary to know, because remember we saw in our last presentation that no murderer has an immortal soul. And quite the contrary, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Life in eternity is not possible for the soul of a serial killer, a child killer, or a cold-blooded murderer. No hell hole here, just a fiery lake in which the second death will kill them a second time. Sorry about that, little devil. You can't get away with these decharacterizations of Yahweh and his justice. We recognize that when the murderer is cast in the lake of fire, it will produce a second death. No murderer will have eternal life abiding in them. Neither will the serial killer or any of those others live forever. Wouldn't it be nice for Jack the Ripper to be in a place where he could live forever and stab people forever? And you know, there are illustrations from crooked expositors of this issue of hell that are quite that type of illustration. And I just recognize, brother, that this...
Okay. I've got to break in. We've got about a minute before break. First, I have a question. People, they want to know what version of the Bible do you use? Is it King James? Is it something else? They're curious what you're reading out of.
Okay. What version am I reading out of?
Yes. What Bible version are you reading
out of? I have found that the New American Standard is probably as accurate as any of the translations. In most cases, I'm using New American Translation. Sometimes I'll use a New King James. I try to stir away from the regular King James for one purpose.
Well,
we don't speak in that language nowadays.
So what I'm
trying to do is appeal to the people who aren't familiar with that old archaic King James language.
Okay, I got to break in. We don't have the time. Folks, it's SherwoodProphecy.org, SherwoodProphecy.org. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, one of the things I really hate teaching about is money. Ask anybody that's in my congregation. I just can't do it. Anyway, I never wanted to be like those name it and claim it or prosperity gospel people, but it's just the job of a pastor. It is his job to explain these things. Now I find over and over that many Messianic believers and people that are say they're Hebrew roots, they say they're really in tune to Torah, but so many miss the point, and this goes for all Christianity, really. And it's an answer in part to why we do. People ask me, why do you do what you do? So I've got two things I want to give you real quick. Deuteronomy 15:7-11, King James Version, of course, says, if there be among you a poor man, one of thy, excuse me, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thy hand up from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year of the year of release is at hand, and thy eye shall be evil against thy poor brother. Thou givest him not. He cries unto the Lord against him, and let it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that or this thing the Lord thy Yahweh, thy God, shall bless thee in all thy works, and that thou shalt puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land, and therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in the land. Now, you think, well, that's Old Testament, but James reiterates the same thing in James chapter 2, and we'll do that real quickly. James 2:14-20 says, "What in King James again, what doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. But the devil also believes and trembles. Wilt that know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Folks, I'm not trying to con you into a donation, and I'm just telling you why we do what we do. We do because the Word calls for us to do these things for the poor. That's what the Word's about, is loving thy neighbor as thyself. So pray about it. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, men, women, and children from all walks of life who've had a bad break and come to us for help. And yes, of course, we minister in a part of town that most people don't like to drive through, go through, anything. But is that not where the body of Messiah should be, as among the sinners, as Yeshua was? We need your help now to keep staying open. And we're coming up on starting our 19th year. And we have new faces coming in all the time, women, men, and children, some homeless and some not. We are the last hope for so many. And we are all of us are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. Consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Also, podcasts. You say, well, you know, podcasts, that's free. No, I have to pay for that, too. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Steve Henderson over what happens. Do you go to hell? Do you disappear? What happens to you? Back to Steve. Are you there, Steve?
I am, Pastor Dan. Bless you for your ministry. I hope your ears there will dig in your pockets and dig deep for your great cause. Not only are you talking about warning people about the soon coming of Yeshua, but you're also working. And it says to work until he comes, and blessed he is found working and doing that which we're commissioned to do. So bless you, brother, for your great work there.
Well, we're just trying, brother, just trying. Anyway, but this is also part of the ministry, too, is informing people, getting them to dig into the Word, and to find out, by digging into the Word, it causes us to go into a deeper relationship in Yeshua, because without, he's the ultimate answer for all of this. Back to you.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a frightful, it'll be a very, very terrifying day. I think that a lot of people undermine the vision, or cannot even visualize the idea of a second death. They say that's not enough punishment for people like, you know, Hitler and people like that. But, you know, the Bible says very clearly that when one day that that judgment will take place, and that one is sitting on the throne, the visualization is so frightening that heaven and earth flees away from them, from his face. And so I couldn't imagine being raised up in resurrection where I find myself in front of a holy God. Not only that, but I now recognize that the truth that people were trying to tell me about Yeshua and that there's a God and all of that has now become very, very clear, and it's right, staring right in my face. And as he, with great regret, I believe, explains to us why he, what he must do, then we're cast into a lake of fire, and according to Scripture, that's going to hurt. Blessed is he that's part of that first resurrection, and if you overcome, then you will not be hurt of that second death. I, you know, to die one time is bad enough, but to be raised in the sight of a holy God and to recognize that we have forfeited eternal life and we could have done something different. Now we are getting ready to be cast into a lake of fire, and that surely, in my estimation, will be a very, very frightening event. Fortunately, I do see God's justice there also. But as we go into this now, we'll see how that all plays out. The cowards, the unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars will have their doom in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. And never once, like I say, do we find the immortal soul listed here, yet just the end result will be a second death. Yes, there will be no murders. The more vile and atrocious of humanity, who led millions of deaths, wait at the back of the judgment line. I can just see this. Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Nero, and other hundreds of thousands like him, as they watch those going before them being cast in the lake of fire, these people will be standing at the back of the line, I believe. You just visualize this stuff, but you know, it's a pretty frightening thing when you get to contemplate it to any depth. The Almighty will have a special reward for the merciless. And as many as the humanity has suffered from their lawless deeds, vengeance now comes out in fury upon those who are more deserving of death's solution. God will impart a payback especially designed for the most sinister. And whatever Yahweh decides should be their punishment, the most vile will receive even a greater condemnation when he judges them, whatever the way he decides to implement that. But we know ultimately the lake of fire will be a second death. The murders, which took the lives of the innocent and bystanders in the way, those who have killed the unborn, my goodness, those who are in war executed, who executed hundreds of thousands without a cause, the serial killers, the ones responsible for the genocide of millions, pop out of the ground to be hurt and rewarded with the most agonizing death. No eternal life for the murderer, just a death twice over in a fire that consumes to nothing. Those who have killed the body of men are now killed by the one who destroys both body and soul in Gehenna, or in the second death. And I believe this death is going to be promised as delivered, a terrible death two times. Then will be brought to pass the most frightening words ever uttered: depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It had been decreed that the devil and his little angelic followers would experience the fire of Yahweh. These will go into everlasting punishment. And please recognize it does not say everlasting punishing. The punishment, the second death, it will last forever and ever. Along with the murderers who do not possess eternal life, there's a list in the book of Revelation naming other types of sinners who wind up in the same place with the same destiny. These groups are found in the subsequent verse, and the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and all those, and I'm speaking out of the King James there for your benefit. I'm sorry, brother, if I knew you had that preference, I'd be speaking out of that one. And I'll try to do that next time.
You can use anything you want. It's just that the people wanted to know what you're reading because they,
sure.
you know, they were trying to follow. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely. So they have a second classification, the cowards. These cowards who spit vicious curses at God with a test of case pain, those who denied him in fear of losing their lives, the ones who were not brave enough to save the millions, who shed their blood to remain faithful witnesses, those who ran and hid, never to return back to the Almighty, now find themselves raised up in fear, in real fear, as they hit the fiery lake. The coward dies after his judgment is determined a second time. He died a coward, raised a coward, still a coward, and dies one more time, a coward, a second time. The next group, the unbelievers, will try to hide and not be able to find a place to hide. The Buddhists will be in terror as their chantings and bowing down to the images of Buddha cannot protect them from the sight of a holy God as they fix their eyes on him who they see him as he really is. Nirvana could not save them without the acknowledgement and the confession of faith in the one that shed his blood to redeem them from their godless, useless religion. Islamists who deny the crucifixion and resurrection of Yeshua will be in shock as they see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, face to face. Those who had expected to be in the presence of 72 virgins after fighting the infidels that find out that their religious pursuit was psychopathic. They are now beholding the face of him whom the heavens and earth fleed away. And the jihadists and their prophet now bow to him to whom they had denied as their Lord and Savior. They now find out too late that Yeshua really was God's son. Atheists will be in shock. Mouths stopped by the most terrifying image of the invisible God. Yes, seeing God the way that they see him, and the believers will be too late. Although they see him, although they could see his invisible attributes by the things which they were made, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and because of their foolish philosophies, God gave them up to uncleanness and lust their hearts, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The true scoffers, the school teachers that taught God's children the lie that our ancestors came from monkeys, will scream with fear as they see the holy God as they denied him, and they look as he looks down on their wretched, trembling bodies because of their worship of the creature instead of the creature. Instead of the creator, they now realize that they look upon the wicked that surrounds them, realizing that they are guilty for teaching evolution, unleashing in the multitude standing there, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexually immoral, wickedness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful, evil-minded people, whisperers, backbiters, are all gathered together. Haters of God, the violent, the proud, the boasters, are all screaming in the second resurrection and asking for mercy upon an unmerciful God now, who has now had determined their fate, which is a death twice over. All those
Steve,
who practice
Steve,
such things,
Steve,
who Paul said are deserving of death.
Steve, I don't like to break people's chain of thoughts, but, you know, I've got a chat thing up, and I got somebody asking a question, and they'd really like to answer, and I think it's
sure.
a good question.
Yes.
So he says, can you ask him what he believes will happen to simple, non-saved people, remembering that we're all sinners, and sin is death. So what happens to just somebody that's never heard about Christ? That's what they're talking about, I'm pretty sure. So,
yeah. And that's a very good question. You know, I am not the judge, but I know there is a righteous judge. And there is a definition of sin in Scripture, and it says, to him to know to do good and do it not is a sin. I'm not one to determine the fate of those who may not have heard. I know that there is some Scripture that says that some are cursed by the very generations, as it says in the commandment, that curse is passed on from generation to generation. If you're raised in a place where you've never heard because they have a certain religious lifestyle, and you believe in a thousand gods as the Hindus do, but yet you never heard of Yeshua, you know we know that there will be a day in Revelation chapter 15 where everyone will recognize. It's illustrated as people standing on a sea of glass. And what they're saying to the Lord God Almighty is this. Just and true your ways, O King of Saints. They had recognized that when on a sea of glass in the day of redemption, that everything that God had done was true and righteous. And so I lean on the side of mercy because God is merciful, that he will make the righteous judgment to that person who may not have heard. So for me to say, well, they're going to hell or they're not going to hell or they're going to the second death would be not a place where I want to make that judgment. But we know there is a holy God who says that that if you believe in Yeshua, then you have received eternal life. Those who have the Son have life. Those who have not the Son have no life at all. So we leave that in the hands of the Almighty God who is just and true in all of his ways, brother.
Yeah, amen. Okay, well, you know, I needed to ask the question because, you know, he was curious. So we'll leave it at that. So go on. We've got about 8 minutes left.
Okay, and there's more to that. Maybe in some other time we can get in a little more in depth of that. But that's just the upfront, off-the-cuff explanation.
Right.
It's not for me to determine, but we know there's a righteous judgment, and he'll make it, everything right, and he'll make everything new. And what about the corrupt that's recognized in the lake of fire that's thrown there? Those who have corrupted themselves because of money. Those who stole millions from the vulnerable and trusting, those who have died ripping the multitudes off of scams, identity thefts, crooked politicians, and all who sold out for their integrity to gain wealth by fraud are raised up for their eternal sentencing, and now their money can't save them from the snare of the second death. Instead of counting their money, now they count their deaths times two. And a corrupt who came in the name of Yeshua who said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied your name, have cast out demons, and did many wonderful works in the name of Yeshua. Then he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. With religious pretension, stripped from his hiding place, the hypocrites rise up in the wrong resurrection. No longer could the homosexual priest get away from hiding behind the pulpit of God, while the fondling little boys, those who had made millions off the generosity of their congregations to buy airplanes and build empires, now stand before God to give account of their stewardship. One of the most frightening questions they will have to answer is, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will return back to them, as much as you've done it to me, you have done it. As much as you've done it to them, you have done it to me. Depart into everlasting fire. You see, all those religious folks that claim to be doctrinally correct are now judged, not by what they knew to be truth, but why the way they met the needs of those who are less fortunate. Theological differences have separated churches from unity, Bible study arguments, and the pride of denominational exclusivity to the kingdoms of the kingdom will gnash their teeth in fright of the righteous judgment. Many will come in that day and say, well, I had the correct doctrine, but he'll say, what did you do to the least of these, my brethren? These false teachers who crept unaware in the churches will receive a stricter condemnation by leading others away from obedience to God's holy law. In the heart of God's Ten Commandments, which were kept in the temple in his heaven, they shine forth from the ark of his testament, and as everyone stands, they will be judged by the law of liberty. That which was written in stone had never been written in their hearts. Those no law, all grace teachers realize it's too late to change from doers of iniquity to law-abiding citizens of the kingdom. And out of God's government of love will shine one commandment, the fourth, shined out in the light of judgment. Those who taught and ignored that one commandment, which specifically identified him as the one who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in him is, will discover too late that the seventh day was etched in stone as a remembrance of his authority as creator. They discover too late no change in a day or any theological debates to argue against it. The false teachers' mouths are stopped as the truth is clearly seen regarding his holy day. That which man was commanded to remember had been forgotten, and now God has judged them based upon what they knew to be truth. Those who in the name of God forced people into slavery, killed heretics, blew themselves up with bombs strapped to eliminate unbelievers, will see God as he really is. They will see that this God of love is a defender of the poor and fatherless, and the righteous lawgiver, the counting of religious beads, the reciting of repetitive religious phrases, and the bowing to graven images in the church will be brought into the light of a holy God. Too late will be to change the insane idea that the Almighty was pleased with such religious nonsense. Church leaders who mislead their assemblies to believe that God could only be found in the church will discover that God is bigger than any building. Denominationalism will vanish away in the sight of the Almighty's divine justice. And those who taught others that salvation could only be found in the church will find that many other denominational leaders which taught a false gospel are in the same place, the second resurrection. Oh, what a teeth-grinding day that will be, Pastor Dan. Ordained homosexual clergy will gnash your teeth in fright before him who created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Those churches who voted in these perverse ministers of evil recognize that they are with them, knowing the righteous judgment of God, not only practice such things that are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Homosexual ministers will be cast out along with the adoration of those who were led by the lie. The sexually immoral, the perverts, the gays, the swingers, those who participated in making pornography, the enslaved millions addicted to its alluring slavery, the rapists, and all fornicators will wake up to a sight of a pure and holy God. The God of justice will bring down the judgment, the fire of eternal death. They died a pervert, were raised a pervert, and destroyed in another death. No more pervert. And as God casts the pleasure seekers into the fire, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The witches, those who practice white magic, black magic, tarot card readers, mediums, fortune tellers, palm readers, New Age channelers, astrologers, Satan worshippers, ghost chasers, spell casters, voodoo practitioners, all who trusted in esoteric rituals will find their reincarnation was actually a resurrection, a second one. They will not deliver themselves from the power of the flame, no escaping the second death for them. The idolater, those who spent their whole lives worshiping things, will find themselves raised up in a resurrection to see God as he really is. The big fat man images, the images of Mary, the Mother of God, the images of venerated saints, the images of Krishna, the holy cows, statues of Greek gods, sun worshippers, and all who made out to be likened to anything made now bow to the invisible God made visible, and he cast him into a fiery lake which burns to another death. Do the math. 1 + 1 = 2. And that is how many times the Bible declares the idolater will die. And one more on the list, brother. That is a liar. The ones who mislead the multitude to believe the lies, who twisted the truth or stretched the truth a little, the one who taught half-truths, three-quarter truths, 15/16 truths, the false teachers of evolution, the false doctrines that many were led from the faith of Yahweh, those who made lying a habit, who, in the name of right, lied while wrongdoing, are cast into the lake of fire, too late to recognize the truth. And death and hell will swallow them up in the second death. And one more thing, brother. And, you know, I was amused. One day, I was in a prophecy conference down in Dallas, and they were doing some expositing on Lucifer. And they quoted this out of Ezekiel chapter 28, and they were talking about Lucifer and this, and I began to follow them, and then I traced down what it said at the end, and I wondered if they had ever caught that. And even Satan himself, brother, will be brought to nothing. And I would like to read that in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. Yes, evildoers and the originator of evil will eventually be brought nothing, down to nothing. And I'll read it in this presentation.
Amen.
We really
don't have the, we're at the end of it.
Okay.
It's 7:56 in about 2 seconds. So you need to tell them where you're at, and we'll talk again, but, you know, you need to say goodbye, and we'll do another talk.
Okay, brother. I'm at surewordprophecy.org. Friends, accept Jesus. Without that, there's no hope. Be blessed, brother Dan. Thank you for the information.
Right. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
be blessed, brother. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Steve Henderson. And again, this conversation started last week with Pastor Caller Gallant. Steve wanted to come on and give. I do not believe, you know what? as looking at my chat and some other things, I believe that we're still not at the end of this discussion. I think that there's still some unanswered questions here, which now I don't know that whether we will address them on air or not on air, but I'm telling you, you need to get your Bibles out and start studying. You really do. So pray about it. Pray about all things. Remember, we should prove all things, okay? Anyway, but remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. That's a fact. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. That's his only sign given. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, and pray about supporting the radio. After all, you are listening to it. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.